Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day.
Good evening. This is Bonnie Kay. Are you there, Donna?
I am.
Hello. I'm so sorry. I saw that this was muted and we were waiting on a delay for the show. Well, everybody, this is the Straight Wives Walk Talk Show, and this, sorry for that short delay. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would have for me or for Donna during the show, you can write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to our very special guest for tonight, Ms. Donna Anderson. Donna is an expert on how to recognize and recover from sociopaths, psychopaths, narcissists, and other exploiters, and she's the founder, and she's the person who's the director of lovefraud.com. Donna, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm so glad to be here, Bonnie. Thank you for inviting me.
It's wonderful to have you back and to see how far you've come since your last time here, because, you know, I'm always honored when you come on our show because there are so many people who are so lost without the information that you provide for them on your website. And you have now, since the last time you've been on our show, really started with continuing education credits. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, certainly. We have launched Love Fraud Continuing Education. And what that is a series of online webinars that are directed to two different audiences. We have online webinars for survivors, And those courses are designed to help people understand what they're dealing with if they suspect that they're involved with a sociopath or another type of exploiter. And some of the courses that we have, for example, are the basics, love fraud and how to avoid it. And that particular course talks about how to recognize the red flags that you might be involved with somebody who is disordered. We have the Love Fraud Recovery Series, and that one has three different courses which help people to identify how they got into these situations, what the sociopath or psychopath wanted from them, and how they can escape and recover. We have multiple courses to help people who are divorcing a sociopath, narcissist, or borderline personality disordered people. And we also have several courses that can help people to recover emotionally. One is a tapping course, which is really helpful. Tapping is this amazing technology or type of therapy that essentially makes you feel better almost immediately. And we also have someone who offers the miracle and the madness, which is a spiritual approach to trying to recover from the situation. So we have, I guess, about a dozen of the courses for survivors. And then beyond that, we also offer programs for mental health professionals that offer continuing education credit. For example, we have one called Love and Exploitation that helps therapists to identify if one of their clients is involved with someone who is disordered. We have a course called Understanding and Recognizing Narcissistic Abuse. We have another one called the Five-Step Exit, which helps therapists work with their clients to get out of a disordered relationship. And we also have a program called Overcoming Children's Genetic Risk, and that's for therapists to help deal with parents who have realized that they've had a child with someone who may be disordered and to take steps on preventing the disorder from coming to fruition in the child. So we're very excited about the programs. Everybody who's taken them, all the feedback I've gotten has, for the most part, been very good. And it's just a way to try and get this information out there in a way that will help people to deal with their experience and overcome it and move on.
I would like to just clarify several things. I know that you have the courses that are for, you know, continuing education. But would they also be appropriate for people just in general, or is it more geared for therapists?
It depends on the course. I think most of them, if you're someone who maybe at least has a college education or is well-read on the topic, for the most part, I think you will understand. I mean, some of the courses, you know, they are designed for people who have a background in therapy, and so there may be some terminology in the courses that you might not be familiar with. But, you know, for the most part, it's anybody could probably follow what's going on. And the good news about our programs is that once you sign up for it, you can take it over and over again because it's online and you can do it at your convenience. So if there's a part you didn't understand, you can go back to it. You also have access to review. Most of these are PowerPoint presentations, so you have access to the materials so you can take a look at it. Some of the instructors have provided additional materials. And you know, if you have any questions, all of the providers provide their contact information so that you could reach out to them and get any questions answered.
One of the things I'd like to discuss with our listeners, for people who are the survivors of any of these relationships, I think it's just so amazing. You have the opportunity to work with professionals, you know, with these webinars for a very, very minimal cost. But some of the topics are so important because I know the women that we work with often go through many of these problems, so I'd just like to mention a few of them. For instance, you have a program I think is very important, the Five-Step Exit, Tools You Need to Leave a Psychopath, Narcissist, or Other Toxic Partner. And this is such an important field, important topic in itself, because so many women are so beaten down and just don't know how to do it. So, for instance, with this particular seminar, webinar, is this what it's geared for? for women who are kind of beaten down
yes.
and don't know what steps
yes.
to take?
Yeah, that particular program is presented by Dr. Amber Ault. And
uh-huh.
essentially what she does is follows the Model of Change program, which has five different steps. And essentially what she does is work through each one of the steps so that and it starts with when you're just thinking about that you know, you might want to get out of a relationship like this. And so she has a whole program, and actually she's written a book on the same topic, which is
mm-hmm.
an extremely helpful book. And essentially she looks at all five of the steps and walks you through it as far as, you know, what might be going on. Like, for example, the first step is contemplation. And so she gives you ideas of, you know, different ways to think about what you're going through. The second step is preparation. And a big part of that is lining up people who will help you, because often it's difficult to get out of one of these situations by yourself. You often need people to support you, because if you're dealing with a disordered person and they're not ready to get rid of you, they're going to do everything they can to draw you back in. So sometimes you may need support in order to stay away from the person. Then step three is called execution, and what that means is you actually make the break, you actually make the move, and she talks about you know, what to do in that situation. And the fourth step is improvisation in relation to pushback, because as I said, you know, the manipulator probably doesn't really want to let you go if they're still draining you of something, so it's how to deal with that. And then the final step is recovery, you know, different approaches you can take, like meditation, exercise, getting back out among your friends, all different things like that. So it's a really comprehensive program. And we actually offer that both for the survivors who want to do it themselves, and then also for therapists who want to help their clients go through the program. So that particular
mm-hmm.
one is available for both audiences.
There's a couple of other seminars I'd just like to bring and maybe can shed a little insight. One that I think is really applicable to our, you know, women, understanding the language of a narcissist during divorce or custody battle, because this is a key point of what goes on for so many of our women, the majority. Could you talk a little bit about
right.
that?
Yeah, well, that program is actually presented by Tina Swithin, who is the author of One Mom's Battle, and we have two programs from her. We have this one, Understanding the Language of a Narcissist, and we also have her program, mm-hmm. Advice from the Battlefield of what's going
mm-hmm.
through. And so what she does in this Understanding the Language, it's essentially to help people realize that everything an exploiter or a manipulator says during the divorce process is calculated to hurt you and calculated to weaken you. And so, you know, a lot of people take it to heart when the we'll call it a sociopath for now. Like when the sociopath is saying, you know, you're crazy and you're you know, this despicable person and you've been cheating on me the whole time, and essentially they're lying and they know they're lying. But one of the things that she explains is that they all say it, okay? And so her strategy is to learn how to tune out all of the terrible things that these people are saying to you and just get to, you know, what the meat of the conversation is. You know, for example, sometimes they may be talking about, like, who's going to pick up the child from soccer practice or something like that. And the sociopath will just go on this rant, you know, if it's an email, for example, of telling you how terrible you are and you're a terrible mother and you're doing this, you're doing that, and you know, and pick the child up at 4:00. So the idea is to learn how to tune out all the inflammatory statements that are being made and just respond to whatever it is that needs the information that you need. So that's a lot of what that program is about, and it's very helpful. I mean, Tina Swithin has been through it. I mean, she actually was like 6 years in court against her ex and finally proved that he was alcoholic and dangerous to the kids, and the court actually took his parental rights away, which is pretty amazing because that doesn't happen all the time. But So she explains exactly, you know, what these statements mean, which essentially they're all designed to upset you and to weaken you so that and to get you flustered, so that to make you look bad in court or to provoke a reaction. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And the idea is to get to the point where you do not react to this stuff. You just roll your eyes and say, oh, there they go again, and just deal with whatever the business information is.
I think one of the hardest issues that our women have is that when you go through divorce and you have someone who is a narcissist, who is a sociopath or has sociopathic tendencies, is that they're not necessarily fighting you on behalf of the children because they care that much about the children, but they're fighting you to hurt you. And
oh,
I know
exactly.
That very debilitating to our women, Donna, that they get very down, very depressed, because they feel that their whole life now became a battlefield, and it's costing them so much money and legal fees that, you know, they weren't anticipating, so much emotional pressure. I have a young lady right now who was speaking to me earlier who's listening to your broadcast, so I send my love to her. She's going through a very bad time where she was, you know, her ex-husband's taking her to the attorney general's office claiming she owes all this money. That's not even true. So, yes, mm-hmm. I mean, she'll be able to prove it, but look what she has to go through to prove it, you know, getting all these records. I mean, she's just minding her own business, trying to get through life, and yet he's always looking to trip her up with the kids, you know, to try to badmouth her in front of the kids. You know, it's been a constant battle for the last 8-10 years since I've known her, and it's just very exhausting. She's a strong woman, but even she's starting to feel the pressure of – how much can you keep going through? Is there any time that this ever stops?
Well, the key is to detach emotionally, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that's really hard because, you know, you are wrapped up in this and you are being unfairly accused. And This actually is a typical sociopathic strategy, is to bleed you financially. I mean, so many of them do this, and, you know, they file all these stupid motions, which, you know, don't make any sense, and half the time, you know, get thrown out, but you still have to respond, and you still have to pay a lawyer to respond, and it just becomes draining. But the key is, as I said, to detach from it emotionally. Because essentially what the narcissist or sociopath is doing is that they are trying to get you to react. Because If you react emotionally, they know that they still hold clout over you.
It's a power thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is totally a power thing. This is totally because they want to continue to control you, you know, perhaps because you had the audacity to leave them, you know, when they're cheating on you and abusing you and everything else. It is very difficult. And, you know, I don't want to be glib about it at all, because sometimes sociopaths are just so persistent because – essentially, their whole life is about winning, and what they want to do is win. And in some cases, they're just like a dog with a bone. You know, they're not going to let go. So, you know, you do your best, and hopefully the court will see through it. And but if you can get to the point where you don't react as much. I mean, hopefully this woman, you know, even if she feels bad, doesn't let him see it. Because, you know, if you go to a sociopath and say, can't you just stop, you know, for the sake of the kids, that's not going to do anything. And what it does is it feeds them. You know, it gives them fuel, because they know that they're getting under your skin. So,
I would just like to mention one more time about the courses, Donna. because of the fact that there is so much that you can learn about this if you're going through it. And Donna has, you know, once again, gotten all these courses together that are so important to any kind of wife who's going through this battle. And I'm telling you, for less than, you know, for a very minimal fee, most of these courses I'm looking at are, you know, $25 or less. And this can really save you more time than you even know as far as other kinds of therapy that you could go to. I'm sure you're going to learn a lot more here that's more geared to what your actual problem is. And so I think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity you're giving women, knowing that a lot of these women are really in a financial bind and that these courses are so reasonable. So I'm really so impressed that you do this, and I see that you're getting wonderful reviews from people on it. Are you going to have more courses coming up?
Oh, yeah. We have some more that are under production, and, you know, we'll be coming out with more. This is ongoing, and so, you know, we want to keep doing it. I have ideas in mind as far as different things that I want to do, so it's just a matter of getting them all underway. But I think we have five or six that are related specifically to the divorce process. We have a couple that are presented by an attorney, you know, to help you understand, you know, from a legal perspective what's going on and how to deal with different things. So that's helpful. And the recovery courses are helpful also because if you're in this situation that you're dealing with the trauma and the aggravation and everything that goes on in a divorce, you know, a lot of people tend to think that they have to get this divorce settled before they can work on their own healing. And that's not true because, you know, there's nothing to prevent you from working on your healing even while you're dealing with the divorce. And if you are able to work on your healing, it makes it easier for you to deal with a divorce, you know, because if you can be more calm and more centered and not as reactive and understanding that none of this is your fault, that you couldn't have done anything to make this person treat you any better, if you can get to the point where you're starting to recover emotionally, you'll just have so much more strength in order to deal with all the aggravation that the guy is going to throw at you. And you know, this sense of peace, you know, like sociopaths, I think, are kind of psychic, you know, and they just kind of know that when they are aggravating you. And if you can get to the point where, you know, they're not getting a rise out of you anymore, they may actually turn their attention elsewhere because you're no fun for them anymore.
One of the things that I think is really a little ironic here, which I think is great, is that one of the two women who are associated with Love Fraud, one is Marianne Glynn, who's, you know, part of Love Fraud, who has been on, you know, our show a number of times, talks about women in our situation, you know, as far as post-traumatic stress is concerned, how many of them suffer from that. And another woman who's now associated with one of your courses that's been on our show a number of times is Dr. Karen Hoffer.
Karen's wonderful. Yeah.
I love Karen. She's wonderful. And, in fact, one of our, you know, members took her course to become an advocate. But
oh, wonderful.
You know, and she said it was the most amazing course and that, you know, it's a great opportunity for women to get involved as advocates. But with post-traumatic stress disorder and divorce, you know, you're absolutely allowed, according to Karen, to have an advocate in the courtroom with you. And I think that's really important for women to know because a lot of times when you're dealing with narcissists or sociopaths, you're so on edge to start with that you can't always give your full attention to what you need to. And I think that having a trained advocate there, you know, someone who's gone through Karen's course, who can really help you along the way is just a wonderful opportunity to have some support. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And we do offer programs by Dr. Hoffer as well. We have two for survivors, which is essentially is, you know, surviving court when you're traumatized. And the one for the mental health professionals teaches people how to use the American with Disabilities Act to help protect their clients. So her material is absolutely fabulous, and we offer, I'm very pleased to offer those programs, and it's great, and people need to know that there are options for them that will help them in the courtroom.
Exactly, and that's the most important thing, because often when you're dealing with a narcissist, you're so unhinged to start with, and especially when they're trying to manipulate the situation with the law, with the lawyers, and so sometimes you just feel so lost, and having an advocate could make a very big difference. So I'm so happy that you're tied in with Dr. Hoffer, because I think it's just so important. I just wanted to mention to you that several women wrote in letters, you know, to us, and I wanted to bring them up since they had questions for tonight, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
And the first one came from an Angela and said, it would be so helpful to me if you could possibly try to answer these two questions while you're on the air tonight. What is duping delight? Is this where someone just has fun deceiving people? That's the first question.
Okay, well, duping delight, it's more than someone having fun, okay? You know, because it's not like that. It doesn't mean that somebody likes to play practical jokes or, you know, just likes to goof on people or something like that. It's actually much more sinister. And what it means is that, and this is very typical of sociopaths, is that they just get this rush, an absolute rush, when they know that they've pulled the wool over somebody's eyes. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they lie so much. I mean, all sociopaths lie. You know, all people with antisocial personality disorder or psychopathy, I mean, they're usually pathological liars, or at least proficient liars. And part of it is because if they can convince somebody of something that they know is not true, you know, in other words, they get people to believe the lie, it is an indication of the power that they are exerting over their target. And so that's what the duping delight means. The duping delight means that they get a thrill over getting somebody to believe a lie because it means that they are holding power over this person.
And our second question was, why would my husband lie about how many times he was married before he married me?
Well, to make himself appear better than he is. I mean, if this guy was married like four times before he married you, that would probably make you wonder whether or not you really want to do this. I know I went through this because my ex-husband, let me see, I was his fourth wife, you know, and had I known that up front, I'm sure I wouldn't have gotten involved with this person. But he, you know, he only mentioned the one before me, you know, who had died suddenly, and that's another whole story. But then later on, I found out about the one in Australia, and then later on, I found out about the one in Massachusetts. And so he kind of, like, you know, got these stories out a little at a time. And by the time I realized the extent of it all, I mean, I was already hooked. So I was more likely to, you know, just kind of accept what he told me. But had he, you know, like I met him because he posted a personal ad online, and had he said, you know, I'm looking for my fourth wife, do you think I would have responded? No.
Right.
So yeah, the answer is, Yeah. I mean, he's just trying to, you know, make himself look not so bad.
I think there's also the possibility, if you're having problems in the marriage, you might start trying to track down some of those other past wives if you know about them. And
yep,
I see that happening a lot with women. When things go bad and they know there's an ex-wife. And I think this is pretty common, Donna. Maybe you can confirm this. That often women are so taken in because we are, you know, many of us are empaths who are kind, loving, wonderful people. And narcissists really recognize that trait. And especially when you're vulnerable and you're coming out of a marriage, you know, that was a bad marriage to start with because of those same reasons. And often when they come to you and they'll say, yes, I was married before, but I was married to a woman who would say all these horrible things about her, and you feel so sorry for him that he went through so much suffering that that makes you feel even more sorry and more caring for him. Do you see that happening?
Oh, these guys constantly. They all do it.
Uh-huh.
They absolutely all do it. And, you know, there's a couple of things at work here. Essentially, what happens is that part of it is the pity play, okay? And that's what you just mentioned, is that he's trying to make his new target feel sorry for him by painting this picture of how terrible and how much he endured and, you know, how awful his previous wife was, and she was a witch and all this other stuff. And, you know, the objective there is, the first objective is to make you feel sorry for him. And because this is one of the ways that sociopaths hook you, is through the pity play. Now, the second thing that's going on is what we call the smear campaign. And what that means is that, you know, the person is trashing other people. So what happens is if he's saying all these terrible things about the previous wife and you believe it, you're less inclined to seek her out, or if by any chance she does reach out to you to try and warn you, you're likely not to believe it because you have this idea in your head that this person is just a scorned woman and you know is just trying to break up your new happy relationship with this person. So trashing the previous romance or previous partner is standard operating procedure for a disordered person.
Do you think that many women who end up in these situations were coming from homes where there were problems to start with? I find that many of the women who are part of our network had families where there was mental illness, addiction, dysfunction. And so when they would meet someone who was a little kinder to them, even a little, you know, that person looked good because they didn't have any of that. So it was really easy to mislead them into something that was really a fake relationship because they were so desperate to get any kind of love or attention. So do you think that's typical of who a narcissist or a sociopath would look for?
It happens a lot. It does absolutely happen a lot. And it actually goes much deeper, you know, because a lot of times people will say that, you know, they get involved with an abusive person because that's what they're used to, you know, because that's what they saw in their home, and so that to them seems normal. And I imagine that there is an element of truth in that, but I actually think what happens is that the person is still carrying around all kinds of pain and disappointment and betrayal because of what they experienced in their family of origin, especially if this happened when the person was young, because when you're a kid, you don't have the tools to deal with it. So typically what happens is that, you know, they feel, you know, whatever they endured, you know, maybe they were beaten, maybe they were lied to, maybe they were neglected, you know, or whatever else went on. All the pain and the grief of that, they kind of lock it into this little internal closet, you know, so that you just try and go through your life without dealing with that. But all that pain and disappointment and betrayal and grief is still locked up inside you in your internal closet, and that's exactly what the sociopath latches into. You know, because you have all this unprocessed pain, it's kind of the sociopaths have just this sense for it, and that's what they latch onto, and that's what attracts them, because those are your vulnerabilities, and the way sociopaths get you is by targeting your vulnerabilities. So that's a long answer to say, yes, I agree with you, but also expanding on what you said, the pain goes really, really deep, and that's why self-healing and working on your emotional recovery is so important, because what you want to do is process that pain and get it out of your system so that you can fully recover and not attract this type of people ever again.
I'm a very strong believer in recovery after a marriage like this. And I always tell my women, just like any other recovery program, whether it be AA, NA, whatever you're recovering from, you have to give yourself a good year to process what's happened to you minimally and to try to get help to see how you ended up in that situation. And what happens is that sometimes you're so desperate to feel good about yourself again when you've been neglected for so long that you just fall into a trap and meet the wrong person so easily. And I warn women, this is going to happen to you because of desperation, of feeling the need to be wanted, to feel good about yourself again. And these kind of people, narcissists, sociopaths, they sense that. And even though they may not be gay this time around, it's just as dangerous, it's just another form. So that you need to really recover, you need to heal, you need to get help, you need to get support, you need to get therapy. You need to get yourself into a better position so you don't keep repeating these mistakes. As I say, the predators come in all different sizes and shapes, but they know who you are. You know, it's like a shark in the water looking for blood to attack you. And they just keep looking around for where they can smell that, you know, flesh smell to grab you because they know already, you know, that you're weak and you're vulnerable. They just sense that. Would you agree that they do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, they're predators and they seek out your vulnerabilities and you do have to recover. And the thing is that if you take the time to really work on your recovery, life is so much better on the other side. You know, I mean, the recovery process is it's messy. You know, you cry a lot. You might yell and scream, and you know, and privately, of course. But you know, it's emotionally very bumpy. But you know, once you get through it and get those negative emotions and that negative energy out of your system, the whole world opens up. So it's definitely worth all the effort that you put into it.
And I tell women that if you can't love yourself, then nobody can love you. It's just a fact of life. You have to love yourself enough to have somebody love you the right way. You know, there's right love and wrong love. And if you can't, you know, feel strong enough for yourself that you can stand up for yourself, it's so easy to get taken in again, and it's so easy to be beaten down. I see some women go into relationship after relationship of destructiveness because they just can't pull it together, and they're willing to settle for so little. So that's why I think recovery is so important, and through your courses, they can also work on that, right?
Oh, yes, yes. And as I said, they can take the courses over and over again to really help them get through the message. And one I think that's particularly helpful for the recovery, as I said, is the tapping program. This technology, this type of therapy is just amazing. Essentially, what it is that it helps you to. It's kind of like EMDR on steroids, in that you know, what it does is it breaks up the connection between your memory of what happened and the fight or flight response that is triggered by your memories. And so essentially, you know, you're just tapping on different places, mostly on your face and then like on your wrist, as you bring these things to mind. And it's this desensitization process, except that it works really, really quickly. And, you know, it's great for PTSD. It's great for anxiety, depression. It's also good for things like weight loss and other addictions. But it's this combination of Western medicine and ancient Chinese acupressure that is very powerful. And so, you know, we have an introductory course on it that's specifically to how to use this to help recover from sociopaths. And it's amazing stuff. It's truly amazing. And but it can help you to feel better very, very quickly. And the thing about it is you don't even have to believe it works for it to work. So it's amazing.
I've heard wonderful things about tapping from people who are using it. I just want to mention also that you offer a course on the basics, love fraud, and how to avoid it, where you're the instructor for here, and you talk about, is your charming, attentive lover, love interest really a predator waiting to pounce? Learn to spot the warning signs of love fraud. And I think this is the most important number one course, is that you have to learn to recognize what's out there. Because if you don't, it's so easy to be taken in. It really is, because these guys are so professional. They are such actors, and especially the men that we marry, they've been acting their whole lives. You know, we have a whole other spectrum here of men who've been living a lie and lying every day. So it becomes, I think, some part of your personality when you just do it. You get to the point where you just lie about anything when you're lying and living a lie every day of your life. It just becomes inherent in your personality that you just lie when there's nothing to even lie about. And so many of the men like that do that. So that's why recognizing these signs, understanding them, I think that's where everybody should start. And once again, on Donna's website, it's lovefraud.com, where there's loads and loads of information, wonderful information. I know many of you receive her weekly newsletter, and I do, and I love reading it and reading all the articles in there. And you can just order the newsletter right off of her course at lovefraud.com. Donna's very generous in providing that information for us every week, which I think takes a lot of energy personally. I have a hard time doing it once a month, so I really admire it. And you can do this on a weekly basis. But it's wonderful information about the courses, about the, you know, all the kinds of materials that Donna has, and a blog. So lovefraud.com, that's where you need to start. We did have another letter that I'll talk about for a moment. I'll read that also. That came in for you. And it said, "Hi, Don and Bonnie. I have a question about narcissism versus closetedness. My psychiatrist said she doesn't think my husband is a true narcissist because the motivation for narcissism isn't there. She says a narcissist demands admiration and attention from everyone at all times. But a closeted gay person is desperate to avoid attention for fear of being found out. That made sense so far. She said it's not really a need for attention on my husband's part. It's that he believes that all homophobia that he hears all around him, and he internalizes that, and that motivates him to hide. And so that's different from a narcissist. She said selfishness can look similar, but you have to understand what's driving it. She said that the telling point is that you can't beat or cure a narcissist, but you can help and support a closeted gay person to stand up to homophobia and overcome it and become a stronger, braver person. It takes time and patience, but you can't do that with a narcissist. So she asks you, does it make sense to you for the definition of narcissism that selfishness for a narcissist comes from needing to be admired and adored in the center stage? Is that always the case, Donna? Are they always having to be center stage? Or is there different variations of narcissism?
There are. There are several different varieties of narcissism. And, you know, there are some that, where this is the case, you know, where they're very flamboyant and they want to be center stage. But then there's also these covert narcissists, you know, which essentially are people who may have essentially this self-loathing and are using their narcissism to cover up their self-loathing. So it gets kind of complicated because there are like three or four different varieties of narcissism. But in this particular case, I'm not sure I can quite answer the question of whether or not it is narcissism or that the person is still in the closet, because I would need to know more about the her husband's behavior. Is this person lying to her about all kinds of things? And does he have no empathy? Is he, you know, charming and grandiose? Is he entitled? You know, does he blame other people for everything that's gone on in his life? Did he move very quickly to hook up with her? You know, I mean, so what I would suggest is that, you know, there is a difference between narcissism and someone who is gay, because essentially when it comes to sexual orientation, a lot of people who are sociopathic, which is like more extreme than even narcissism, but, you know, there's so much confusion about the terminology. But anyhow, I mean, I found through my research that approximately 18% of people who act who are probably have antisocial personality disorder, about 18% are deceptive about their sexual orientation. And I was very surprised to see this, that this number is consistent across the several internet surveys that I did. And what we found by looking at the people is that those who are deceptive about their sexual orientation are far more worse and more damaging to their targets than the people who are not deceptive. I mean, it's shocking. It's like they are, you know, they take more money, they are more abusive, there's more physical abuse. Like, on every single measure, those who are deceptive about their sexual orientation are worse than the other sociopaths. So what I would suggest is if this person who sent this letter in should, you know, take a good look at what we talk about as far as sociopathy is concerned, you know, get our checklist, which is free. You just go to the website, sign up for the checklist. And if her husband tends to have the traits, it's probably more of either antisocial personality disorder or narcissistic personality disorder than a matter of being gay. And the other thing that I can say is that we have conducted research with people who have gone for therapy, and essentially what our research shows is approximately half of therapists are clueless about what goes on in relationships with a disordered person. And that's pretty scary, you know, because it's a crapshoot if you're even going to get a therapist who truly understands what goes on in these situations. And
it's
so that's why
scary.
It's very scary. And, you know, and it goes way back to what's being taught in graduate programs, you know, because essentially what has happened is that antisocial personality disorder and psychopathy really weren't clearly defined until, like, the 90s. So it hasn't been that long. So if anybody, you know, went to school, to graduate school for therapy, like, before the year 2000, they probably got bad information. And, you know, they're still not, you know, there still is not an official definition of narcissistic abuse. You know, so people aren't learning about it because there is no official definition. And so people who are, you know, learning to be therapists are simply not getting the information they need in order to help folks who are dealing with these situations. So, you know, it's up to us. And luckily now we have the internet where you can go online and you can start to do your own research to try and figure out what's going on.
That's so true. And I think that's one of the problems that so many of our women have, that on top of all the problems of narcissism and other kinds of problems, on top of all of that, they have the gay issue, and a lot of therapists are not familiar with it because I have therapists writing to me all the time for information, but they're getting bad advice from therapists who may have their own personal points of view or who may be church, you know, oriented, who believe that no matter what, you have to, you know, stay with your husband and you have to learn how to overlook things and overcome them. So it's very upsetting that women spend years suffering much longer than they need to, you know, because of bad therapy. That's why we have a list of, you know, in our group, women who understand this and who are therapists, you know, who are licensed, who can work with women. I think it's so important to get that. And also, I think I don't know if you have started anything like this, Donna. I think it would be a great idea. I always talk about it, maybe getting a network of lawyers who work specifically with this to help women, because this is always a problem that I have, you know, getting together attorneys who are very familiar with these types of behaviors and games that these men play. You know, it's just, you're so vulnerable when it comes to a lawyer to start with, that if there was someone
that's important, and it's very difficult because, I mean, first of all, you have to find a lawyer who's ethical, and, you know, there are plenty of lawyers who are ethically challenged to begin with. And, one of the things that I find is that a lot of sociopaths tend to find sociopathic lawyers. So then, you know, you're dealing not only with your ex who's disordered, but, you know, this pit bull attorney, you know, and they're tag teaming you. You know, so it can be really, really difficult. But I agree, and I do hope to have a list of enlightened attorneys at some point. And it's just another thing that another goal. Love Fraud has we've accomplished a lot, but we have a lot of goals of other things that we want to do, and that's one of them.
Yes, I think that's a great one. And maybe even Karen Huffer could help with that, since she's involved with, you know, the legal realm.
Yep,
she may
yep.
be able to help us with that, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So I just want to ask you this question, because some people are just still questioning. When it comes to a narcissist, is it nature or nurture, both? What is your feeling?
Okay. Personality disorders, or at least antisocial personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, and psychopathy are highly genetic. Okay? So what that means is that a person can inherit a predisposition to the disorder. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's carved in stone, because there is an interaction between the genetics and the environment. And the environment includes the parenting that they receive, the peers, you know, a person's brothers and sisters when they're growing up, then the friends that they hang out with, their socioeconomic situation, you know, if they're in a really depressed area or a bad neighborhood, you know, that plays a part. So there is an interaction between the heredity and the environment that somebody grows up in. And so, you know, there's good news and bad news about that. And the good news is that it may be possible, even if a child has inherited a predisposition for the disorder, it may be possible to guide them away from it so that the disorder doesn't develop. And that's what I mentioned before about the program that we offer, which is Overcoming Children's Genetic Risks for Externalizing Disorders, because that's exactly what that is about. It explains, you know, what this interaction is and what can be done about it. So, you know, it's a little bit of both, but it is also true that it's possible that if somebody can get such a dose of bad genetics or genetics that lean towards the disorder, they call it a genetic insult. You know, the genetic insult can be so strong that even with the best parenting, it cannot be overcome. So, you know, a lot of folks tend to think that it's all bad parenting that makes this happen to people, and that's not the case. I mean, I've heard from people who are parents, you know, who did everything they could and provided a loving environment for their child, and the kid still grew up to be bad. And essentially what that means is that the genetics were just too strong and that they could not be overcome.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, a lot of women feel, well, if I just take good care of him, if I show him what love is, you know, that's what really counts, and he's going to change. You know, we're always trying to save the lost boys. I think that's a characteristic that many women have, that they feel the need to, you know, just try to take these guys and fix them when they're so broken, because there's something within us that has that need. Do you find that in some women?
Right. Now, what I was talking about applies to children. Okay,
uh-huh.
You know, once a disordered person is an adult, there
right.
is no therapy to help, all right? And yes, but plenty of women do exactly what you just said, where they think, you know, if I just, this person, you know, grew up without love, and if I love them enough, they'll come around. And if the person has a personality disorder, it's never going to happen. Okay, you know, once a person is an adult, if they're disordered, they are going to stay that way. So that's why it's so important to understand what the personality disorders are and to take a look at this individual. And if you think that this person is disordered, you're wasting your time and your life, because nothing's going to change this person.
Let me ask you this, Donna. What if that person says they're willing to go for therapy? Does it mean anything?
If the person
is abusive, not necessarily on their own. not necessarily because they want to, but in, like, for instance, they say, well, rather than break up the marriage, I'm willing to go for help.
Okay. Well, a couple things. First of all, if the person is abusive, you do not do couples therapy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just really bad. Now, I have heard of people who say that they'll go for therapy. If the person is disordered, it's just another manipulation.
Exactly.
And believe it or not, there has been research done on psychopaths who were in prison. And what they found was that when the psychopaths got therapy, it actually made them worse. Because
uh-huh.
essentially what happens is that they learn better manipulation tactics, and they learn these buzzwords, and they
exactly.
turn therapy around and use it on the other person. So, you know, I mean, that's why, again, it's so important to figure out if the person is disordered, and if so, you got to cut your losses.
Well, I can't thank you enough. I can't believe the hour went so fast and that we're running out of moments now. But I just want to announce to people again, to get more information about Donna, just go to her site at lovefraud.com. Donna has some wonderful videos out you can get on YouTube. She speaks all over. She's been on all kinds of television shows, radio shows, to help educate people on how to get out of toxic relationships. And if you're in one or getting out of one, this is a place to start. To start to heal, to start to learn, and to start to avoid so that you don't have to go through this again and again. So, Donna, I thank you so much. I hope you'll join us again sometime later this year, because there's always so much more to talk about, and I really do appreciate your support and your help.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thanks a lot. And to all our ladies, have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here again next week. Love to all of you, and thank you, Donna. Love to you, too.
Thank you. Love to you.
All right. Good night, everybody.